Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You'll find this on page 1248 in your Pew Bible, 1248. Again, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of our God. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, this is the word of our God.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank you all for your many prayers over the 2018 year, and I guess up till this point, to restore me and have my family and I back at Reformation, and the Lord is answering those prayers. I was thinking during the thick of things in 2018, because it just seemed like it kept going on and on and on and nothing would get better. The question to me was, how bad am I that this many people need to pray for me and I'm still not getting better? But, you know, the answer is pretty bad. But the Lord does answer prayer, and it was encouraging to hear about how many people were praying for us and about being on the prayer list here at Franklin Square. So thank you, and it's a privilege to be back with you and ministering to you this evening. Please turn in your copy of God's Word to page 77, Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. The Ten Commandments, we're going to look at the third commandment, but I'll read all ten of them. Hear now the reading of God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that we would be convicted as we read your law and realize that we do not measure up to the standard that's here. But more importantly, we pray that you would enable us to see Christ in the law, especially as we turn to the third commandment and consider it this evening. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In reading the commandments and considering them, and just focusing on them, I come to the third commandment, and the question that occurs to me is, really? Does this really make the Ten Commandments? You know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do we really need to be told that? Is this really as essential as the rest of the commandments about worshiping God, about putting God first, about, not murdering and not committing adultery? And right up there is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Is it really that important to have this as one of the Ten Commandments? And then you spend about 5 minutes in the world and you realize it is absolutely essential to have this as one of the commandments. There is something on the heart of man with his enmity against God and his sin and rebellion against God that there is an impulse to curse the name of God. And if you turn on the television, you'll see it. You'll see it in very dramatic terms, people saying the name Jesus Christ, the right name, but saying it for all the wrong reasons and saying it in all the wrong ways. We hear the name Jesus Christ more as a profanity than we do as in a worship setting. We hear more about Jesus Christ as profanity than we do in evangelistic settings. I would imagine that we have heard about Jesus Christ more from others than we have ever told others about Jesus Christ, just for all the wrong reasons, as a profanity. And then we hear it in ways that seem as if they are not so bad, sort of innocent, OMG, oh my God, as if it's not that bad. And then our Christian versions of these, because we have the third commandment, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, gosh darn, right? And I was raised to believe that I shouldn't be saying those things. I mean, I remember being taught, like, don't say, oh my goodness, don't say geez. It's like, really? It's just geez. It's like, well, no, it's short for Jesus. Don't say geez. And so I remember, as I prepare even this, it's like, where my parents was, were they right in raising me not to say those things? And as it turns out, they were absolutely right. There's just all these ways which us humans, sinners that we are, come up with ways to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It really needs to be a commandment there to remind us that we're supposed to keep the name of the Lord God holy, that it's set off for worshipful uses, that it is wrong to say these things, and we shouldn't come up with variations like geez and oh my goodness and gosh darn and that things. And we certainly shouldn't be saying swear words that we hear all the time. Jesus Christ is a swear word, or God followed by the word damn as a swear word. We should realize that those are profane ways of using the Lord's name. Even saying, what the heck or what the hell. Because those are concepts that mean nothing apart from God. It's a way of taking the Lord's name in vain. And the very first and hopefully surface application, hopefully one I don't have to belabor, the first point of the sermon is, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In all of these ways, don't do it. Start to improve your vocabulary by expressing yourselves in ways that don't even come close to taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The third commandment. And that would be a very short sermon. And one that's faithful to the text. It is faithful to the text. But another question that arises is after you say, does this really need to be here? And then you spend 5 minutes in the world and you say, yeah, it needs to be there. Everybody in the world is always taking the name of the Lord God in vain. Is, well, what's What's the opposite of this? You know, if you're not supposed to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, then what are you supposed to do with his name? What are we supposed to, why? Let me put it like this. God never, ever says no without giving a better yes. He's the best of parents, father. He's the best father. And he's not the God and father of our fears that is just constantly saying, no, 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 and if you dare to do what I've said, I'll smash you. That's not the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture is one who says, every good parent puts a fence around what is safe and good and wonderful and says, if you go beyond this fence, you're in danger. But if you stay within this fence and if you play in this wonderful yard that I've given you, then you're going to be safe and you'll be fruitful. And the Ten Commandments are that fence. They are God the Father's way of saying, there's a whole lot of no's out there, and I'm going to say no, thou shalt not, to lots and lots of things, to keep you in safety, to keep you in an area where you can have fruition and goodness and enjoy the good life. He never gives no's without a better yes. So what's the better yes? We realize that as meticulous as it is, we probably shouldn't even be saying, oh my goodness. But if we shouldn't be doing that, then what's the better yes? And for that, the remainder of the sermon, I want to talk about claiming the name. First, Christ claims the name, and then in Christ, you claim the name. First, Christ claims the name. Have you ever realized that Christ was nailed to the cross because he upheld the third commandment? I never thought of that until the sermon, but they were questioning Jesus Christ, who are you? Because they wanted to trip him up in blasphemy. If a person says, I am the Son of God, it would be blasphemy. And in Matthew 26:64, we read, actually verse 63, right before verse 64, the high priest says to Jesus, this is Jesus, he's being questioned, they're looking for reasons to nail him to the cross, to give him over to the Romans. And the high priest says, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Well, what do people use as profanity all the time? Jesus Christ, right? Well, they're asking, do you say you're Jesus Christ? And think about this. Have you ever met anybody who claimed to be Jesus Christ? I think that's compelling. I mean, I've met a lot of strange people. We live in New York. We're around a lot of weird people all the time. I still haven't met anybody who claimed to be Jesus Christ. But this, he's asked by the high priest. I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so. Jesus can't lie. Jesus upholds the third commandment. It would have been profaning the name of God if Jesus lied at this point. And Jesus claims the name himself. He says, yes, that name, that title, that belongs to me. That's who I am. And then the response, Jesus says to them, you have said so, but I tell you from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You now have heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? And they answered, he deserves death. You see, Christ claimed the name, the perfect law keeper, keeps the third commandment, and he goes to the cross for it. He's put to death for claiming his name of the Christ. Christ claims the name. And I think as we hear that, we can say, well, that, you know, that's Christ. Obviously, we can't claim the name of Christ. That's not our role, and it's true. But I think we need to say, go a step further and take a look at Christ's model and see how it would have been easier for him to have neglected that detail. Like, oh no, I'm not the Christ. And it would have got him out of being put to death on the cross. He claims the name and he suffers the persecution for claiming the name of God. And we're not going to claim the name of God the way Jesus Christ did, because we're not God. But we're going to claim the name the way Christ does. We're going to not claim the name of Christ, the Son of God, but instead, in Christ, claim the name of Christian. And I want us to think about it in terms of the Lord's Prayer. Think about that. Hallowed be thy name. What's the better yes for the no? Hallowed be thy name. Should we take the Lord's name in vain? Certainly not. That's the no. What's the yes? Hallowed be thy name. Lord, make your name holy. Make your name holy on this earth and use me to do it. Let me be one who claims the name of Christian. I'm not Christ, but I am a Christian. Let me be bold in claiming that name of Christ. And as we pray, hallowed be thy name, I think it's so important to stop and say, consider this fact. Somebody, your parents, named you. If it wasn't your parents, I want to know. That would be an interesting story. So tell me at the door if it wasn't your parents. But usually, your parents name you. You never name yourself. God always names himself. Don't you just love that about God? Nobody can ascribe to God a name that unless, you know, he has to approve it or give it to himself and then have it written in his word. He alone gives himself these names. And we need to say, not to say, hallowed be thy name, but stop and say, how many names are there for God? Hallowed be thy name. And then go through the different names that there are for God. I want to just read you a list of them. These are just for Jesus. You can go do your homework on hallowing God's name and find out different names for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, God the Father, and all the great names for him in the Old Testament. But listen to these hallowed, holy names given just for Jesus himself. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. He's the great I am. He's the prophet. He's the son of David. He's a servant. He's the son of man. He's the Lord. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Holy One of God. He's the beginning. He's the high priest. He's the living one. He's the deliverer. And he's the bright morning star. I mean, just right there saying, hallowed be thy name, thou, you the bright morning star. Hallowed be thy name, you the great I am. Hallowed be thy name, you the son of David. With some work just unpacking what those names actually mean. That would be tremendous fruit in your spiritual and devotional life. Take any one of those names, get a devotional on the names of God, and pray, hallowed be thy name, using the different names of God. There's many books out there, like 100 different names of God, and realize these are names that God has given to himself for you as a Christian to hallow his name and claim the name for yourself as a Christian, saying This means I need to know who this God is. That's the greater yes, or at least part of the greater yes. That's the part of you saying, I'm not going to profane his name. I'm going to do my best to abstain from even the seemingly innocent ways of profaning his name. And I'm going to hallow his name, and I'm going to work to understand more and more of the great names he's given as he's revealed them to himself, revealed them of himself to us. That's part of us in Christ claiming the name. But really, all of your life, every last moment of it, is to be hallowing God's name. And this is what really hit me in preparing the sermon, is that we're commanded to not profane the name of the Lord our God. And the opposite of that is a whole life in which God's name is exalted and worshipped and adored. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, when you're baptized, you're given a name. One name, three persons. You're given the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the significance of baptism is that from that point forward, you are more importantly marked out as Father's, the property of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's more important than whatever name your parents or anybody else has given you. And Paul is calling you to that baptism, and he's saying, you know, claim the name. Claim the family name of Christian. Realize that whatever you do, if you're studying, you study as one with the family name of Jesus Christ upon you. If you're working, you are working as one with the family name of Jesus Christ upon you. If you're learning in the household, if you're a child, and you are being brought up in the training and child training and admonition of the Lord, every response to mom and dad is one in which you should be thankful that you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you apply this, you take this to whatever your occupation is, wherever you find yourself throughout the week, shopping in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we don't think like this, but we should. Speaking to our neighbors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting to know others, not just to bring them to church, but to show them the kindness of Christ and showing them we act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interacting with other family members in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to know something very convicting, go through your actions and say, now, was I doing that in a way that was fitting for the name of Jesus Christ? Did I just speak to my son in a way that was fitting for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the better yes is everything. You should be doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our baptism name, we claim the name of Christ. We claim the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be going through our lives asking ourselves, is this fitting? Is this something that is appropriate to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And in that regard, it's a lot like the first of the shorter catechism. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You can use that as a quick check on what sin is. You know, you're going through life. Should I do this or not? Well, can I do this to God's glory? That's a great question to ask at any point in life. Can I do this to God's glory? And there's a lot of things you can't do to God's glory. You know, you can't steal from your employer to the glory of God. Just can't do it. You can't overtly cheat on your taxes to the glory of God. It's impossible. You can't kill someone in hateful vengeance to the glory of God. It's impossible. Well, here's another one of those quick checks on how to live your life before God. Can I do this in the name of the Lord? I'm thinking about saying this about so-and-so. Can I say it in the name of the Lord? Can I do what I'm contemplating doing? Can I do this and say, I'm doing this because I believe it will honor the name of the Lord? Is what I'm about to do honoring to Christ and his name? Will it bring honor to his name? Claim the name of Christian. Claim your baptism name. Keep the commandment by not profaning the Lord's name, but by doing everything in the name of the Lord. And let that so seep into your life that you are completely transformed and changed by it. I think it's amazing how Philippians 2, 1 through 11 concludes with, we had this as our scripture reading tonight. But it talks all about Christ and his humiliation And though, you know, have this mind in you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has done what? He's bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want you to hold that in your mind for just a moment, and I want to bring in a part of this commandment that I haven't focused on yet. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now you stop and you think about how many ways, probably all of us in here included, people have taken the Lord's name in vain. How easy it is for them to let the name Jesus Christ fall from their lips in profanity. And we read here, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The Lord won't hold them guiltless, and they're going to be bowing before the one whose name is exalted above every name. That's a terrifying but an awesome thought to show us the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bring it to us tonight because as you go forth into this world and you say, you know, I need to watch what I say. I need to be slower to let expressions fall from my lips. I know it seems innocent, but it's not innocent to just say, oh my God, or oh my gosh, or oh my goodness, or geez, or gosh darn. It's not innocent. It's inappropriate. It's actually a violation of the third commandment. But don't stop there. Go forward. Memorize that verse of the Apostle Paul where he says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, you know what I'm doing? I'm practicing for eternity. One day, every knee will bow before the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, that's going to happen. And as I'm out in the world right now, and whatever my setting is, in the schoolroom, or in the workplace, or in the household, wherever it is, in the neighborhood, In essence, I'm bowing before Jesus Christ right now, doing things in his name, asking myself the question, should I be doing this? Can I do this in the name of Jesus Christ? Can I do this in the name of Jesus Christ? Can I do this in the name of Jesus Christ? Is this an act of obedience to Jesus Christ? Is this me, in effect, bowing before the name above all names, before he ever even comes back, practicing for eternity? That's the way we keep the third commandment, not just negatively watching what we say, but positively doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that you would change us by the commandments. Help us to see Christ in the commandments. What a thought that Christ was put on the cross. He was put to death because he was construed as blaspheming when he was actually just obeying God the Father, keeping the third commandment, saying who he was, speaking about his name, and testifying to him. Help us to claim the name that you've given us. Help us to be quick to claim the name of Christian and to live in a way that respects and honors that name and the name above all names, Jesus Christ, the Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen.